Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, that newsletter is waiting for you. One-stop shopping for everything we do, thecommonsenseshow.com. Click on the newsletter link, put your email in. We don't sell your data. It's free. Over 50,000 people are subscribed, and you can get one-stop shopping to everything we do every 24 hours. Hey, we're brought to you by Noble Gold. In fact, we're coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios. The banks are in trouble. Trump is doing the very best he can. There's no question about it. And we're probably going to have to go to a basket of currencies to back up the dollar. But your bank could very possibly be in trouble. And because of the Dodd-Frank Law of 2010, they can keep your money if they want to. Don't let them. You need to keep operating capital. But if you have a retirement in the bank, you're out of your mind. And Noble Gold can fix all this for you. And I'm going to say this unequivocally. I have to give the warning from the FTC. There's no guarantees. But I'll also say this on the personal side. I've been a customer for 7.5 years, an advertiser for 8.5 years. I think that speaks to what I think of Noble Gold. In fact, we're doing another deal today. You need to protect yourself. They will guide you. They will not pressure you. No call centers, no hassles. Everybody speaks English. They're the best people to deal with. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, and I'll send you out a free information packet. Well, our guest is a former White House stenographer. Well, that's right. We get to pick up the covers and look underneath. This is going to be fun. And his name's Mike McCormick. My thanks to my friend Sarah Westall, frequent guest on the show. Sarah introduced us, and I heard some of the things that Mike was talking about and what's contained in a new book that we'll tell you how to get. And I thought, oh my goodness, we absolutely have to air this. We know the Biden administration, we know the China situation. We know how bad that was to some degree, but now we're going to get a peek under the covers from an expert. Mike, welcome to the show. It is really good to have you on. Sarah said so many things, and I listened to your interview with her, oh, probably 2.5 times, and I was enthralled. And I have to ask you this: why aren't you on Fox every week?
Yeah, I ask myself that, and I frankly think we have to keep plugging around at the fringes. I'm going to put you in that category. I hope you don't mind, but
No, that's fine. I've been called worse.
there is media dominance that's underway in D.C. I've been a part of it as the stenographer in the White House, sitting at the edge of it, and that's one of the things that Sarah and I talked about that was really interesting. We had a great talk. So, media dominance. Why aren't I on Fox? I have contacts, personal contacts with Fox people. I reach out to them. They don't get back to me. They don't really want what I have on there. A couple of years ago, I made a big splash on Fox when I talked about something that I had witnessed in Air Force Two as a stenographer, a White House stenographer in 2014, that was done by Joe Biden and Jake Sullivan as we were flying into Ukraine for the first time. And I wrote a FBI witness tip about it. The FBI, this is in 2023. Biden's in power. I wrote an FBI witness tip. The FBI didn't get back to me. So I went to the New York Post. They published it, and they're a Murdoch property. So then the Fox News people called me up, and I got on with Jesse Waters. I haven't had much with them since. They wanted to make a splash then, but they don't want to make a splash now. I've been interviewed about what I know about Joe Biden and the Ukraine situation, but also what I told congressional interviewers with the Oversight Committee and with the Senate Homeland Governmental Affairs Committee. I told them what I knew about Ukraine and Burisma and the Bidens, but I also told them what I knew about China and the Bidens and this company called Metabiota. And that's probably what we're going to wind up talking about a fair amount today, because there's some dark, dark past there. So,
Can I run a
yeah,
rumor by
Fox.
you? I would like to run a rumor by you and then go back to Fox for a second. Got a good friend, Paul Preston, got a real popular show. He's the head of the new California 51st state movement that Trump endorses. And if the MAGA people hold on to the House and the Senate, we're going to have a 51st state. And
Ooh.
Paul's the head of that. In fact, I'm speaking at their convention at the end of the month. But Paul told me about something that happened in 2014, and I've had one other person repeat the story that Joe Biden, and I believe it was Devin Archer, but not Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, flew on Air Force Two to China. And the speculation is that some of the Wuhan virus that infected all of us was actually developed in Ukraine, and they oversaw the shipment and they got paid by China. And then all six of the crew on Air Force Two ended up dying over the next 18 months.
Okay.
You know
So
anything about that?
I have
You
a
know anything
lot of
about
that
that?
trip that Joe Biden took to China in 2013. I was on that trip in December. It's in that book, An Almost Insurmountable Evil, how Obama's deep state defiled the Catholic Church and executed the Wuhan pandemic. I disagree. It didn't happen. The deaths on Air Force Two didn't happen. I would have heard about that. So I flew in that Air Force Two.
Okay.
I flew on it several times in 2014. So the crew deaths, no, it didn't happen. So did
But
they do something?
the transport
We can
better.
talk about, well, let's talk about what happened with Metabiota because it goes from China
Okay.
into Ukraine. So quick about Fox. Fox is a Murdoch property. I think there's media dominance. They don't want these stories out there. And I've talked to the Congress about it. They don't want this story out there. So thank you for having me on to talk about it.
Absolutely. Well, look, I look at Fox as controlled opposition. They have some good people, but they put the reins on them, and no one wants to suffer the fate of Tucker Carlson.
Right. That's exactly what I think is happening. And it goes into New York Post, same deal. There's huge shifts that's happening right now in the Washington media landscape. I mean, I sat at the edge of the White House. So a little bit about my job. I started as a White House stenographer in 2002. I was a contractor. I was a contractor until we were federalized in 2014 by Obama. Then I became a federal employee. So I worked with Bush and Cheney, I worked with Obama and Biden, and I worked with Trump for 1 year. Just sitting on the edge of the briefing room and walking around in and out of the White House, traveled in Air Force One, traveled in Air Force Two, traveled to China with Joe Biden twice, went to China with Cheney once, saw China behind the scenes as a White House employee. Very different view than what most people see. Know a bit about China, went to Ukraine 3 times with Joe Biden, went to Russia with Joe Biden, saw Vladimir Putin literally humiliate Joe Biden in front of me, and no one reported it. No one heard about it. I wrote about it in a book that I published in 2020 called Joe Biden Unauthorized. It came out in March of 2020. A week later, the shutdowns hit. And that's when they put Joe Biden under wraps to make sure that he didn't reveal himself as this compromised, physically, mentally compromised guy who no one wanted to elect president. He played his role right through the debates in 2020, and they installed him as a fraudulent president. And that's where we are now.
Yeah, I covered the voting fraud in Maricopa County where I live. I'm well aware of that last phrase you just made. We've had to live it here. The Biden people, let me ask you this. How much did Comer not cover in his investigation into the Biden's Chinese dealings?
Oh, in Chinese dealings, basically all of it. He didn't go near China. He didn't go near what I told him about China. So let's talk about what I told him about China.
Okay.
So I went to China with Joe. So in a, in I wrote 2 books. The other one is A Case to Impeach and Imprison Joe Biden. It kind of is a step-by-step look. I had access to the Hunter Biden laptop in 2021. Garrett Ziegler from Marco Polo said, "Mike, you know a lot about Biden. You should have this. I'm going to give this to you. No strings attached." So that's when I started writing my Substack, and the Substack is Midnight in the Laptop of Good and Evil. And I basically write the Substack, and then I formulate it into these books. What happened was Biden's in 2010, the Tea Party comes in. They knock Obama flat. They knock the Democrats flat. Oh, the Chinese come to the DC in January of 2011, and they know that they've got Obama over a barrel because he wants to get reelected. So they push to have Biden become the Manchurian candidate. They put him in there, and Obama and Biden would talk about it later in the next several months. Oh, it was a joint idea. Barack Obama and Xi Jinping came up with this idea together. It wasn't. As soon as they announced that in January, Hunter and Chinese businessmen were doing business in New York. There was a meeting in May in 2021 2011. So this is this January 2011. In May 2011, there's a high-level meeting of Chinese diplomats in D.C. Joe gives a speech. He's telling them, I'm going to go and develop this special relationship with Xi. As he's giving that speech, Hunter's entertaining Chinese businessmen in D.C. And this is in the laptop. Fast forward to August 2011, we go to China. What happens in China is Joe gets into this deep personal relationship, rah, rah, it's great. I think a lot of that was put together by Tom Donilon. Donilon, you remember, was the national security advisor. Hold on, sorry. Sorry about that. He was a national security advisor, and he was a Joe Biden guy. He was also a Chinese guy. He was the guy who installed Biden with this sort of personal relationship with Xi. So Biden goes in 2011 in August. He gives a speech at Sichuan University, and he comes out with something. Remember, I've been in the White House since 2002. I traveled to China with Cheney, learned a lot about how they looked at China. This is the first time I ever hear any American prominent politician say this. He gets in front of an audience at Sichuan University. Somebody asks him about the fiscal responsibility of America. He goes, look, you are the ones that have a problem. Your one-child policy means you have too many old people.
That's right.
For every person in the workforce, there are four old people. You've gotten rid of half the girls, and all you have is boys, and they have to support all these old people. You have too many old people. The Wuhan virus that rolled out 8 years later in September, August of 2019 killed mostly old people. I think that's when they started developing a virus that would target old people.
You did. You suspect that. I did, too. Did you know that in May, there are 440,000 reported cases of long COVID now in China?
I didn't know that.
Oh, it's severe. This website and YouTube channel called China Decoded, it's very, very good. It's close to the information I'm getting, too. They're running that story this morning. And the hospitals are filled to the brim. It's absolutely incredible what's going on. Oh, yeah.
Right. So that was, to me, the beginning of COVID. At the time, there was a company that was involved in something. Obama and Biden had put together something called Predict One in 2008. Predict One was global viral surveillance. One of the companies involved with it was a company called Metabiota. It was World Economic Forum backed, Rockefeller Foundation backed. A guy named Nathan Wolf was in charge of it. It was out of Silicon Valley. They basically would go around the world and collect these samples, and then they would run computer models to see how bad a pandemic would get. So they're in China gathering these samples from 2008 on. One of the things that happened in China in 2011 and 2012, all of a sudden China started killing all the CIA operatives, the CIA assets there. They started killing them in kind of publicly. This was reported in Reuters. So they kill these guys. What happens? The U.S. needs new faces in there. So they started Andrew, gosh, I forget his name. He wrote a book, The Truth About Wuhan. And he was involved with EcoHealth Alliance. He was in his book said, hey, look, they told me I was going to go over there and be a CIA agent. I didn't want to. He was like an ex-military guy. I don't remember his name. Andrew's his first name. So they do this and they start working this spiral surveillance. It's paid for by USAID. It's paid for by the Defense Threat Reduction Agency. They're moving through. This is 2011. 2013, Joe Biden goes back to Wuhan, back to Beijing, meets personally with Xi Jinping. At this point, Xi Jinping is now the president of China, and Joe Biden's a lowly American vice president. But they have a meeting, and Joe Biden hijacks it. It's supposed to last for like an hour and a half. It goes 4 hours plus. There have since been photos released of Hunter Biden and Joe Biden meeting with Xi Jinping at the Great Hall of the People in Beijing. What comes out of that days after they come back to D.C. is Hunter Biden's Rosemont Seneca Technology Partners start investing heavily in Metabiota. Metabiota is at that time working with EcoHealth Alliance and the Wuhan Institute of Virology to collect samples of SARS-CoV, whatever it's called. I'm not sure. I'm not a virologist. In China and around the world. They're going in Thailand, and they're actually then in Africa collecting samples for Ebola research. Fast forward, so Rosemont Sanger Technology Partners starts investing in Metabiota, and that's December of 2013. That just happens to be a month before Hunter Biden's pardon. So Joe's pardoned Hunter starting in January 1st, 2014, but not for what happened December 2013. And I was on that trip, so I remember this weird meeting that Joe had. I have a lot of that in my book. And that was the real red flag to me. I was talking with the guys at Marco Polo, and for some reason, a couple of years ago, they started looking at Metabiota. They're like, "What's this about Metabiota?" You know, they were all of a sudden, Hunter and his Rosemont guys were investing in it in December of 2013. I was like, "December 2013? That's when we were there." We started looking into it, and that's what happened. So that's the red flag,
Mike. That's actionable. And I'm a little bit of a loss. You're saying this publicly. Pam Bondi has to know this. And I'm wondering why you haven't been deposed over what you know. This would supersede the pardon because it comes before the pardon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what I think.
I don't know why. So why is this administration not making you a prime witness and obviously protecting you, because people would kill over this information?
I don't think they'd kill over it, and I'm not worried about that.
Oh, I think they would.
Okay. We'll see. I say a prayer rosary every day. I don't worry about what's coming. I think I'm in God's hands, and I'm A-okay. I do think I should be deposed. I've been trying to be deposed by people. I've actually reached out to, when he was U.S. attorney in D.C., I reached out to Ed Martin. Didn't hear back.
Who's Ed Martin?
Ed Martin is now, he was supposed to be the U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C. He's been bumped up now to be in charge of the pardons. He's looking at the pardons, and he's also the weaponization of government guy. I said, who do I talk to about this? He goes, talk to me. But that's as far as we've gotten. I'll be working on that through this summer. That's my summer project. Get in front of a grand jury.
Yeah, I don't want to pollute you, but I'm going to tell you, looking here and someone that knows a fair amount about this, I can only think of one reason why you haven't already been deposed, and that's because other people are involved they don't want exposed.
Probably, and we'll get to that. So December 2013, Rosemont Sanger Technology Partners invests in Metabiota. The investment moves to Georgia, Republic of Georgia, in February 14th. So this is February 2014. There is an uprising on the streets of Kyiv, Ukraine. There's, you know, we're not sure who's in charge of it or why, but it looks like the U.S. is backing a bunch of people to overthrow the Ukrainian government.
That's what happened.
And so this is what's going on. So what happens in the Republic of Georgia? Metabiota gets a $16 million grant, their biggest ever, a contract, to do work with Defense Threat Reduction Agency in Tbilisi, Georgia. Then Metabiota starts reaching out, and this is all on the Hunter Biden laptop, and I have this in that book, Wuhan Plandemic book. They start reaching out to Hunter and Devin Archer in Washington, D.C., to get in front of, to get Metabiota installed in Ukraine. And that happens. One of the people that's involved in it is Devin Archer. Devin Archer just got a pardon.
Yes.
Devin Archer is a guy, and he's deeply involved in it. And so I'll sort of step by step our way into it. But there's a lot going on.
Would you categorize Devin Archer as Hunter Biden's right-hand man?
Yes, very involved in the Biden crime family activities at the time. Now he's kind of come out and become this, he got a pardon because he was jailed. He was facing a jail sentence for defrauding an Indian tribe, which also happened in 2014. And Hunter was involved in that. So Hunter and Devin are doing a lot of crimes along, just right in side by side with Joe. Joe is part of this. And so is Joe's cabal. Joe's cabal time is Tony Blinken, Ted Kaufman, Ron Klain, Mike Donilon, Tom Donilon, Steve Ricchetti is his chief of staff. These are the guys that managed him through that White House, you know, exactly. Sort of.
I got a quick question on Ron Klain. Is he not working for and with Mike Johnson now, Speaker of the House?
Oh, I didn't know that. If he is.
No, I've been told that. I just thought you might know. I can't confirm that, but I've been told that. And if that's true, that's an old Clinton guy.
Ron Klain is the mastermind of the Wuhan pandemic.
Yes. Ron, yes.
He's the guy. That's what comes out of my book. I didn't know he was working with Johnson.
Well, I've been told that. I have not been able to confirm it. I can't find a paper trail. But I'll tell you, if that's true, that speaks to why no one's touching you on this subject.
Yeah, I kind of started to get that impression. They don't want to talk to me. They definitely didn't want to talk to me in the Congress. So back to Metabiota. So Metabiota starts contact and go into Ukraine. Hunter and Devin Archer are setting up the Burisma scam. Ukraine has been invaded. Natural gas holdings at Burisma are threatened by the Russians. So Joe comes to rescue. So what I saw was in April 21st, 2014, Joe Biden is on a plane flying to Ukraine. He's bringing energy assistance to Ukraine in a broad scope. Jake Sullivan comes walking to the back of the plane. My job is to sit there with a tape recorder and record what he says to the press who are on the plane for the official White House transcript. Joe Biden was very thirsty to be the president at the time. So he would have, this is a background briefing. This is by a senior administration official. He's not identified. So, but Joe was so desperate to get publicity, he has this transcript published on the White House website. That's where it is today in their archives. So I'm standing there and I record this. One of the questions is, what kind of energy assistance is Joe Biden bringing to Ukraine? Sullivan names four things. Two of them directly benefit Burisma. One of them has to do with the USAID benefiting Burisma. That's malfeasance. That's a government official using his office to enrich his family. 4 days earlier, what's in the Hunter Biden laptop? Hunter and Devin Archer are meeting Joe in Joe's office. Devin Archer has since testified to this, in front of the committee. So, and Hunter kind of admitted it. So that's now fact. They were discussing, according to the emails in the laptop, they were discussing both Burisma and Metabiota. So then Joe goes over to Ukraine and. Metabiota gets this contract to start doing biolabs in Ukraine. That's who's doing the biolabs in Ukraine. And this is April 2014. Remember what I said about Metabiota in Africa? So, let's go back to what I said about they set up Predict One in 2009 when they first got in. It had a 5-year funding window. So the funding for Predict One, this global surveillance program they set up, ends in September of 2014. All of a sudden, in April of 2014, as Metabiota is investigating Ebola in Africa, guess what breaks out in Africa?
Mm-hmm.
Ebola. And they turn it into a crisis. And the crisis builds over the summer until in the fall of 2014, Ron Klain gets named the Ebola czar. There's your Ron Klain connection. So he comes in to manage this global pandemic surveillance program. He basically reverse engineers what happens in America when there's a pandemic. He's the Ebola czar. He knows what happens with voting. He knows what happens with civil defense. He knows what happens with all these systems. That starts in 2014. In the meantime, Hunter Biden, so at that point in time, this is also when Fauci and the National Institutes of Health, Collins, come out and announce, you know what, we're not doing any more gain of function funding. No more gain of function funding by the US government for projects in America. They sent it over to China. So Ebola hits, and it, because it's 2014, it's the end of the five-year funding cycle, they have a crisis to address. They get hundreds of millions of dollars directed towards global viral surveillance. That becomes the money that they use to support the research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology that led to the pandemic. One of the things that happens in September of 2014, Hunter Biden, his Rosemont Sanger Technology Partners Group, gets an email from this guy, Nathan Wolf, saying, hey, do you know anybody at InQtel? InQtel is the CIA's finance arm, their investment bankers, basically. So InQtel reaches out because of the Ebola crisis. InQtel reaches out to Metabiota. Well, that's when they get rid of Hunter. That's when the leaks come out about Hunter's cocaine use in the Navy, and he gets bumped out of Rosemont Technology Partners. Devin Archer leaves voluntarily. The guys who manage Rosemont Seneca Technology Partners stay with that, change the name of it, and stay with the investment in Metabiota all the way through the pandemic and make a bunch of money. What's her name? William Lee, a guy named John Deloche, and a guy named Robinson. I can't remember all their names right off the top of my head. Neil Callahan. And all these guys had been visiting with Joe, the Rosemont Seneca Technology Partners guys, had been visiting with Joe in the White House or his staffers just before he went to Ukraine. So they're really tied into this. That's what White House visitor logs show. So Hunter's out. Devin Archer's out. One thing that Devin Archer does is, and I think this has directly to do with not only the biolabs in Ukraine and Metabiota, but also eventually what happens with the impeachment of Trump in 2019.
It does. That Deloche guy was directly involved. I know for a fact he was feeding Vindman information that they could use back against Trump.
Bingo. Okay. Yeah. Now you know why they don't want to have me on there.
Exactly.
What happens is, and I put this in the book, Devin Archer goes to Ukraine in 2014, September. He meets in the embassy. He doesn't say it's the American embassy, but it's pretty obvious from emails that's where he's going. If he was there, Vindman would have been in those meetings. Because if he's there and he's talking about Metabiota at the time was funded by the Defense Threat Reduction Agency. That's Vindman's portfolio. Alexander Vindman was the area officer for the Pentagon in Russia and Ukraine. He worked out of both embassies from 2008 to 2016. He would have been there. And Devin Archer would have met with him. And they would have talked about Metabiota. We're setting up the bio labs, all this stuff. Deloche would have known about it because he was a Rosemont Seneca Technology Partners guy. And so Vindman then knew about it. That's so when Trump calls Zelensky on the beautiful phone call in the summer of 2019, Vindman hears it and goes straight to his brother, who's now Congressman Eugene Vindman, who at the time was a lawyer in the National Security Council. He goes straight to his lawyer brother and tells him. That's his first stop. That's what he's testified to. And from there, they start this process where they leak it to the CIA guy, and then he becomes the whistleblower who leads to this failed impeachment. The impeachment fails, and so they had to go, you know, in their view, it failed. So they had to go to plan C, which was the pandemic. They had to roll out the Wuhan thing.
Do you know what makes that believable? And this is a little digression, but I think it's important. For years, I've had information that the CDC owns the patent on Ebola. Now, that sounds improbable, but I've got the document and I've published it. And you can only own something in nature if you've altered it by at least 30%, but that happened. And I forget the name of the laboratory, Q something, it's in my notes. They did the research for a vaccine, and this is going back as far as 2008, 2009, but the CDC owns the patent. And when you say that Klein was the Ebola czar. It's disease spreading for profit in my book. And I think what you're talking about here is just a bigger version of the same theme.
Right. And Biden tied into it, and Biden tied the Chinese into it. So in November of 2014, Obama goes to China. I was on that trip. The headline story out of that trip is, oh, we've got this great climate, you know, rescue package. We're going to solve the climate problem. But underneath it, there was an agreement between them that America, because China had been involved in the Ebola crisis, helping manage the Ebola crisis in Africa, they had an infectious disease research collaboration. That's what led to the Wuhan investigations, the funding of the Wuhan lab, and eventually the release of the Wuhan virus in 2019. And 2019, by the way, so it was a five-year funding window. 2014, it gets funded. It gets funded for another 5 years. So what happens? Trump gets elected. They never saw Trump coming. Right. Trump gets elected in 2016, and he comes in there and says, I'm cutting government. I'm cutting the size of government. I'm cutting funding. We're not going to fund this biosurveillance stuff. We're not going to fund this global surveillance. Predict one is we're done with predict two. He stops the funding. The funding stops in September of 2019, and they roll out the Wuhan pandemic to create the crisis that they got so that they could get trillions in research funds.
This fills in so many gaps. It's amazing. Was the virus the idea of the Chinese originally or us? I think I know the answer, but I'd like to determine that.
I got to say it's us. Cheney came out. Cheney would talk in after 9/11 about finding, you know, classified information in the case of Afghanistan about bioweapons. So they started ramping up bio warfare in that era. And that's what led to predict one was, you know, what Cheney was talking about in the caves of Afghanistan. You know, they were talking about nuclear stuff and dirty bombs and then bio warfare agents and stuff, weapons of mass destruction. We have to destroy Al-Qaeda. So, yeah, I think it came from there. There's a really good film out called Thank You, Dr. Fauci, which dives into it. And they look at Fauci's role in all this. And Fauci goes back into AIDS, HIV AIDS, and where did that come from? And, you know, Lyme disease, and where did that come from? And all these things that are now plaguing us are starting to come out. And thank God we have Secretary Kennedy in there to look this stuff in the eye.
Yeah, let me show you something. I'm hoping you can see this. Can you see that on screen?
Not yet.
Huh, let me.
There it is. Yeah, I got it.
You can see it. Okay. So I encapsulated this here, and this is a partial because it was a screenshot. That's the patent number for Ebola owned by the CDC.
Wow.
Okay, and that's the effective date. And in later part of this document, it has all the associated researchers and so forth.
Is that effective date 2010?
2010.
2010.
The priority date, you can see it started 2008. And Crusell Laboratories, that's the ones that were working in conjunction with the CDC to develop a vaccine. And they say they were successful. Here's the problem I have with it. I used to teach research and stat at the university level. And I got to tell you, their number of participants was not enough to draw that conclusion. And it wouldn't have passed the level of significance. So they made a false public statement saying that. And then all of a sudden, Crusell Laboratories website is taken down. And all, fortunately, I screenshotted everything and I had it all. But I exposed this here. And see, here's what I'm wondering. You mentioned RFK Jr. He has to know this.
I think he did.
I've been predicting that Ebola would have become the major transmissional disease, but I think they probably decided it was too deadly. It's 90% fatal, which is a lot less than the Wuhan virus. But I think there were plans to do that here, and they got countermanded, and they settled for Ebola in Africa. Because the American public, if they ever found out, you can imagine what would have happened.
Right.
So that's why I think we didn't see Ebola on our shores. but they clearly had this. And I'll tell you something else I came across here, and it would take some digging. I've got a document, and I've published it 3 times, and I can't get it traction. It was an itinerary of Ukrainian prosecutors flown to Hamburg, Germany, and then to DC, and they did a 5-day training on how to prosecute all this crap connected to what you're talking about, with Metabiota and everything, without ensnaring politicians or their children. Can you
Yeah.
phrase? Or their children. And
Right, exactly.
I have the hotels. I have who the lecturers were. Most of them were out of DOJ. And this was Obama administration. And this was 2016. So this is the first part of an election year. They're thinking Hillary's going to win, but just in case, we need to CYA and we're going to train these Ukrainian prosecutors.
When in 2016?
2016. I'll find the document and I'll send it to you.
Yeah, what's the month?
I
I
believe
mean,
it was January.
oh, really? Okay. Because so Lisa Monaco figures highly into,
Oh, big time. Yeah.
yeah, she figures into this. So in 2014, going back that in between when Hunter and Rosemont Seneca begin their investment in Metabiota, and then Metabiota lands this big contract in Republic of Georgia. Lisa Monaco comes out. She's the Homeland Security assistant to the president, like a senior White House person for Department of Homeland Security there. She comes out and says, we have to focus on pandemic preparedness this year. So they were already planning this in 2014. They were looking at it. They were ready for it. And I have a lot in the book about sort of Ebola actually started in 2013. What you were saying about Ebola, I think what happened was they realized Ebola wasn't effective for what they wanted because it was transmitted through bodily fluids. So there were I think 20,000, a little bit between 20 and 25,000 infections in East Africa in 2014. Of those, there's a serious amount of deaths, 10,000, but there weren't that many infections. It didn't spread. So literally, Obama in November of 2014 goes to the NIH. He's doing a tour with Fauci, and this is when he says, "We have to be careful of an aerosol spread infectious disease." He's literally at a speech that's similar to the Spanish flu of 1918.
I
And
remember.
this becomes what they say over and over the next 5 years as they're rolling out this pandemic. And they were
Amazing.
already planning it. They were planning the aerosol version of it.
Let me see if I can pull up this document I referenced. I think I found it. And I think you'll find this a little more than interesting, as it really implicates a cover-up just in case Hillary doesn't get elected. This was the cover document, and for some reason, Morgan Stanley was involved in this. Let me see if I can make this bigger right here. Okay. Rosemont Seneca Bohai LLC.
Oh.
Devin Archer is involved here with this. The publishing date of this originally was 3/31/14. But let's go down to here. I wrote a narrative there. Okay. Here's a copy and paste with a link. Prosecutors training program study visit to US, January 18th to 24, 2016. And there's the itinerary right there. You've got CMLE,
CML.
you see, okay, and then you have Zentos, National Security Council, involved.
Zentos figures in some of these things.
Okay, Blanco. Oops, sorry, lost it here. We scroll back up here. You got Schwartz, Horowitz, Halsham, Katz, and Katz played a pretty big role. He was the head of the Office for Europe and Asia for USAID, and he did a lot of the money transfer for all this crap, as I found out. I guarantee Devin Archer and Hunter Biden know who he is, but
Yeah.
that's what I found here. And this is just a partial copy and paste. This was where they housed the Ukrainian prosecutors, but
Right.
they held the briefings in 5 different locations.
Huh.
And so I look at the we even have the flight number. United Airlines 988 out of Frankfurt to Washington. So th this really ties in to the cover up of what you're talking about. Because, just in case Hillary doesn't get elected,
Right.
we better CYA. And that's what that was all about.
Yeah, so they did a lot of CYA through that spring, and Joe was one of the lead guys on it. So, you and I spoke about this on the phone, so I'll share it with your audience. There's a lot of speculation about Joe Biden being this sort of oatmeal brain puppet of, the bigger, badder Obama. I think it's exactly the opposite. Biden had 50 years in D.C. before Obama showed up.
Yeah.
Approximately 50, 45, something like that. And he knew how to start things and he knew how to stop things. And what I've come to learn is there's an absolute mafia in the Senate. Once you get in the Senate, if you rise to the point of being a chairman, especially as Biden was chairman of the Judiciary Committee, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, you have your fingers on the pulse and the power that happens. Biden knew everything that went on in 9/11. He knew everything that went on in the run-up of NATO enlargement. One of the people that he worked with to bring Poland into NATO wound up being a Burisma investor alongside Hunter, Alexander Kwasniewski. So he was doing this all this time. What happened was in 2000, Biden wanted to be president, but all of a sudden, this guy, Barack Obama, gives this amazing speech in 2004 at the Democratic National Convention. He becomes the hero of the media. And the media never really liked Biden. Here's what all you have to understand about Joe Biden. This sums up his entire career. He ran for president four times. Three times he quit, and one time he stole the race. The reasons he quit was because the press weren't on his side. And the reason he stole the race is because the press was on his side. They never liked him. They loved Obama, and he knew it. So he made Obama part of the Foreign Relations Committee under him, kept an eye on him. Obama gets out there ahead of him in 2008. In June of 2008, as Obama's ramping up into this, getting ahead of Hillary and way ahead of Joe, a guy shows up in Washington, D.C., named Larry Sinclair. Larry Sinclair has this wild story that he was a limo driver in Chicago who gave a ride to a state senator named Barack Obama. They wound up smoking crack and having gay sex in the limousine. He gives this wild story at the National Press Club, which is right in that building you were just pointing to, 13th and Pennsylvania. That's basically right next to the Marriott where they had those meetings. National Press Club's right there. As soon as he gives this, the press ignores him. He walks out of that meeting and gets arrested by Bo Biden. There was an outstanding warrant or something for this guy.
What was Bo Biden's position?
Bo Biden at the time was the Delaware Attorney General, Attorney General of Delaware. There was an outstanding warrant for this guy Sinclair in Delaware for something. Gets arrested, spirited off to Delaware. No one hears about him for 2 months. Joe Biden, a month later, is named vice president, and then he's goes to the Democratic National Convention and he's off to the races. One of the things Joe Biden always talked about, and I heard him say this a couple times, was his selection as vice president happened in a secret meeting in Minnesota. And it was like, he made a big deal about how secretive it was, and they flew me in. It was top secret. I think it was him being secretive. He made it sound like it was Obama and Axelrod and the smart guys keeping the lid on getting Joe in. But I think Joe was the other side. So Joe has this leverage on Obama, and he used it all throughout his vice presidency. And the reason he used it is he wanted to get ahead of Hillary in 2016. And the reason he didn't was Bo Biden died in 2014 of glioblastoma. So Bo Biden dies in June, May 30th of 2015. That's when they're working on Burisma. That's when they're working on Metabiota. They've got a whole bunch of grift stuff going on with the Chinese. And it basically takes the wind out of Joe Biden's sails. As much as he wants to be president, he couldn't do it. So he announces that he's going to do the cancer moonshot, and he sort of works on that from 2016 on. But as 2016 expands, he's looking at Trump growing and growing and slowly and silently panicking. And Hillary is a terrible candidate. And that's why I wrote this book right here. I didn't really understand the dynamics that I was in front of, that were in front of me with
What book
politics.
is that? I can't quite see it.
This is called 15 Years of Deplorable White House Memoir.
Okay.
Basically, I wrote it I got pushed out of my job in 2018 as a White House stenographer by Obama-loving, stenographers that I trained. They were younger than I was. They didn't like me as the old white guy. And once they were federalized, they could do that. So I got pushed out, and I started writing that book. And my perspective was Trump won because he was just a better candidate than Hillary Clinton. He went to places. I mean, I worked for the reelection of Bush in 2004, the reelection of Obama in 2012. I'm a veteran of White House campaigns. Trump went to places I'd never heard of. He met people where they were. He went to places probably out near you in the desert that probably no one ever did campaign stops at. He did a campaign stop in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. 3,000 people went, but he won. He won Pennsylvania by 10,000 votes. Completely flipped out the DC elites. And he's coming up, and Biden knows what's happening. He's panicking. And the press is trying to help, and they can't. So that's basically what happened in 2017. And then, you know, Trump comes in. What I have in this book is the run-up to the pandemic starts as soon as Trump gets elected. It starts out of the White House, the Obama White House, in November of 2016. In 2017, Lisa Monaco and Dennis McDonough and Obama and Biden set up the plandemic at the same time they're doing Crossfire Hurricane. They did it. They did all that stuff in the White House.
It's amazing. You know, too, what you're really confirming for me, too, and this is really an offshoot, is Trump's not making the same mistake he made before. When he came into office, he let people like Lisa Monaco stay, and she should have been gone. And you have, I forget, who's the woman who was the conduit between the government and Ukraine? And she was in an ambassador's role.
Victoria Nuland.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, those people should have all been fired. And Trump's not making that mistake this time. He's getting rid of a lot of people like that because they backstabbed him right into that second impeachment trial.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Vindmans were brought in to the National Security Council, and they were brought in by, at the time, the guy who was the White House chief of staff was General John F. Kelly. And the guy who was in the Pentagon where the Vindmans were working was General Mattis. And those guys are both deep state operatives. They were out to get Trump. So they transferred the Vindmans from the Pentagon into the White House to keep an eye on what was going on in Ukraine. And when, as soon as Trump started figuring it out, they jump on him.
Yeah, I'm glad to see what Trump is doing here today with regard to removing these officials. But I don't think he's being aggressive enough on this issue with Ukraine and the virus and so forth. And again, I'll go back to what I said earlier. I think it's because the exposure could be worse than the prosecution.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I say about Wuhan virus pandemic, the Wuhan was released in Wuhan, China, in the summer and fall of 2019 by criminals and traitors to China and the U.S. If you don't see it that way, if that can't be proven to be the case, then, you know,
it doesn't make any sense. Mike, if it's not that way, that doesn't make any sense. But you said something about the mafia of the Senate. And I want to bring out two people and ask you what you know. Mark Kelly, senator in Arizona, who stole his election. And also, too, you got Mitch McConnell. They take millions of dollars from China every year. Mitch McConnell's in-laws control the six ports of China. He gets benefit from it. Are they complicit in all this since there's strong Chinese connections with those two?
Well, Joe Biden. So what I know about the White House and the corruption there is what I know out of Joe Biden's mouth. And that's voluminous. The guy never shut up back in those days. Now he's the old guy who never speaks. But back then he never shut up. He loved Mitch McConnell. He and Mitch McConnell were great buddies until Mitch McConnell, you know, put his guy into the his people onto the Supreme Court and ditched Merrick Garland for Joe's choice.
Yeah, I remember that.
Senator Kelly, his wife, Gabby Giffords, she was a favorite of Joe Biden. Remember, Joe Biden was sort of a gun control guy.
Yes.
He was always out there talking about Gabby Giffords and her heroic return to, you know, health after her terrible shooting there. And so he helped promote her and Senator Kelly. So, yeah, both those guys are tied in with Biden's, which means they're tied in with corruption.
Yeah, well, McConnell definitely to China, but Mark Kelly, this is the distressing thing. Fighter pilot, astronaut, traitor.
Yeah.
It's right. So disheartening when you look at this and you tell people this for the first time and they just look at you like you're nuts. And then you start showing them the evidence and it's just like people just can't believe it. But you're right about the Senate. You know, I tried to launch a campaign unsuccessfully called tossthemall.com, where we take particularly members of the Senate that are GOP rhinos and you unelect them in the primary and you target them. And I couldn't get any traction on that. And it's not surprising I couldn't. But that's honestly what needs to happen, because as long as we have Collins and these people, you know, in office, Lindsey Graham, as long as they're in office, you know, the Senate's going to be an obstacle to bringing America back.
Right. That's what's interesting about this big, beautiful bill that's sort of working its way through D.C. right now. I think they're starting to put together reveal moves that show us who they are. And I think there's like, what was interesting to me was this information that came out recently about Lindsey Graham's trip to Ukraine right around the time of this bombing, this Operation Spiderweb by the Ukrainians. There was a lot of reporting on it. That's unusual. It tells me that there's a deep state action being taken against that sort of longstanding people that have been protected, aren't being protected the way they expect to be. So we'll see where it winds up. It's going to take a long time to unravel all this stuff. It'll be a long time.
I think it's generational.
Yeah.
That's why whoever follows Trump has got to be in line. And I think, you know, I look at the left, you know, and I've researched this to a strong degree. It was, gosh, what was it, 10 years ago? 70 members of Congress and Senate were members of the Democratic Socialist Party, which is the right arm of the Communist Party, who endorsed Obama when he ran for president. This is the kind of mentality that we're up against. And I believe the left is dedicated to the overthrow of this government. I don't think that's a stretch to say that now.
Yeah. You know, it's weird because what I saw from the White House perspective was they started to redefine government to their terms that made sense to their view. And Trump came in and said, wait a minute, you know, this is a government of the people. And when he started appealing to the people, the word populist started coming out of Joe Biden's mouth with a sneer. I'm not a populist. That's what Trump has done. And it's working. And it's what we need. Yes.
Mike, we're flat out of time. We're up against it. But I want you to tell people how to get a copy of your books. And by the way, we talked about this before we came on. He's coming back. We just saw the tip of the iceberg today. But how do people get a copy of your books?
Dave, thanks for having me. You can follow me in my Substack, Midnight in the Laptop of Good and Evil. You can follow me on X, at Joe Unauthorized. My books are on Amazon. The case to impeach and imprison Joe Biden has the stuff on Burisma and some cartel stuff that Joe Biden did with Honduras. And then An Almost Insurmountable Evil, How Obama's Deep State Defiled the Catholic Church and Executed the Wuhan Plandemic. It's got the Wuhan stuff in there, and it's also got stuff in there about basically how the border, how Biden and the Catholic Church sold the border to the cartels.
Amen to that. You're absolutely right in what you just said. That's a story unto itself. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been Mike McCormick, and I would encourage you to get his books, but we'll have him back for more. Mike, thanks so much for being generous with your time.
Thanks, Dave.
Take care.